You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the air live with Dr. Michelle on the couch, as we always are, Friday, 11 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, here on the country's most listened to talk radio station, LA Talk Radio. Welcome, everybody, and I got a great show for you today. Let me first of all give you the phone numbers if you'd like to engage with my guest, who's awesome, intelligent, fascinating, compelling, and more. How's that? Anyway, the number to call here in Los Angeles is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Of course, I have my computer, and if you would like to respond directly to my special guest, you can get on my LA Talk Radio email here, docmichelle@AOL.com. Very easy. D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. If you have any pending questions that you would like to ask online to my guest as I interview her, you can go there. Just click, and I'll put it on the air. Okay, let me ask you something, folks out there. Do you think you've been given lies all your life? Have you been living lies? Did you buy into a lot of crud? Notice how nice I am today on the radio. I'm usually not this nice. All the crud you bought into in the family? All those society negative things that we all have to deal with. You're not going to be able to do this. You can't do that. Oh, you're not smart enough. Oh, you got to be perfect. You know, we do grow up with a lot of lives, and I do see in my practice a lot of folks were programmed. You know, we have to deal with this stuff. But we're going to find out how to really get through it, because I have an expert on the phone today. My special guest today is Teresa Moore Griffin. She's the author of the book. You got to check this out, guys. It's called Lies That Limit: Uncover the Truth of Who You Really Are. Now, Teresa is a certified core energetics therapist. I'm going to tell you, this is an amazing field that she's in, and she's going to tell you more about what she does. She's also been a personal growth coach for more than two decades. Teresa's also appearing regularly on Fox, KYW News Radio. She's been interviewed on CBS, the Comcast Network, countless other television networks, of course. You can see her pretty face on TV. And Teresa Moore Griffin has also contributed articles to a vast amount of magazines and online articles. And I won't go into it because there's too many to mention. Anyway, her corporate clients include AT&T, Merrill Lynch, American Express, Harley Davidson, the United Negro College Fund, and the Prudential Fund. My goodness, that's a huge... Teresa, hello.
Hi there.
You are an amazing woman. I mean, you have so many different things going on for you in your career. And you're also really a therapist, which is going to be fascinating for my listeners as well, because we're all about self-help and getting ourselves together. So nice to have you here as well.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Now, I was reading about your company, and I'm sort of a spiritual kind of gal, more of a spiritual psychologist, you might say. Your company is called Spirit of Purpose. And I loved it. I immediately went, ooh, I like this. I've got to ask this lady. What is the sort of initial decision you made to choose that name?
Well, Michelle, I have to say it took a little bit of guts, because as you can imagine, when I tell people that my company is called Spirit of Purpose,
right,
and I'm working in a corporate context, eyebrows raise. It's like, well, what?
Right.
But on the other hand, what I've noticed is that the name of the company feels good to people when they say it. They say, oh, I like that.
Yes.
What's that about?
Mm-hmm.
And so I developed the name some time ago in conversation with a colleague. I was talking about needing to change my work and needing to find a way to give a little more depth to people and not just sort of skim the surface and apply Band-Aids to the situation.
Right.
And I was talking about this idea that, you know, I really think that we're all a spirit of purpose.
Yes.
And this person said, well, why don't you call your company that? And I said, the deal is done, baby. Let's call it
right.
that. You know?
I love it. What a great idea. And, you know, I think even though they're corporations, you know, I think, motivational therapists and core energetics therapists such as yourself, I think a lot of companies really are opening up to, you know, self-discovery and finding the strength within themselves. And I think that I don't think it's so scary anymore, really.
Yeah, I think that some walls have come down, gratefully, around this topic. And even if companies are not open to it on the whole, mm-hmm. a lot of individuals, actually in senior roles,
yeah.
are pretty open to it. So
right.
there's more space for this concept now.
Well, sure. I think so. And now, Teresa, you're a certified core energetics coach for all these companies and more. What is that? What is core energetics?
Yeah. So I could just be honest with you and say that I'm really called an executive coach, and that's kind of how I brand myself in
okay.
the world.
Mm-hmm.
But what undergirds my work is core energetics.
Hmm.
And core energetics, you might have heard about it through the work of Alexander Lowen and John Perakis.
Right.
Because they were the co-inventors of this whole concept of the body holding the story of our lives. Like, literally, the story of our lives is carried in our DNA.
Wow, is that true, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and so core energetics is a way of helping clients kind of work through the emotional blockages that show up as physical blockages
mm-hmm.
in their body,
mm-hmm.
free themselves of those.
Yeah. You know, one of my guests last week, I was talking to Bert Goldman, and he's the, gentleman who does all of, those quantum jumping tapes and everything. And he was saying we can change sometimes through our energy, through our thought process. You know, we can kind of alter that DNA a little bit. We can make ourselves better. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I listened to your interview with him, by the way. It was a great interview.
Oh, thank you.
Inspiring for me. And I have to concur with him that we shaped our DNA based
right.
upon kind of the moments when we became frightful and
right.
fearful. Very often we hold our breath. And for some of us, it's almost as if we never breathe deeply and fully again.
Wow, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's what it's about, too, is managing, you know, if we want to get down to the basics, is trying to breathe properly and getting that oxygen, into our brains and our bloodstream and relaxing more. And that way we can have more rational thoughts, you know?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes when I coach executives, let's mm-hmm. say, on presentation skills, which is a huge fear for most people,
yeah.
one of the things that I help them do is to learn how to breathe and to
yeah.
learn how to relax through
yeah.
the breath, because
yes.
whenever we're afraid, that's the first thing that we stop doing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, breathing, you know, breathing is a lot easier than the benzodiazepines, right? Than the Ativan and the Klonopin and the Xanax. It's like, just stop a moment and just give yourself some time to breathe before you
yeah.
go into that interview or before you, whatever. You know,
yeah, it really is calming and grounding.
Yeah.
And certainly as a presenter or a speaker or a parent,
yeah.
you know, when you're well grounded and calm, it mm-hmm. really influences everyone else around you.
Yeah. And one of your specialties, Teresa, is also talking with parents, you know, about how to help children become little better people and how to deal with teens as well. And I want to put that out there because, I read your interviews and you are amazing, because I think one of the biggest issues with a lot of parents who have teens, young children, you know, prepubescents possibly jumping into that arena, is, you know, their self-esteem and you know, the way that you have to really watch the negativity with them, because they're
yeah.
The lies that we're going to be talking about in your book, you know, you've really helped a lot of them, and I appreciate the work you've done on that end as well. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And, you know, the one piece I want to mention before we move on with this is that those teens and prepubescent kids, they kind of act tough and act mean and like you're a bother and, you know, you're just a hassle and a problem in their lives.
Right.
But they are so delicate and so fragile at that stage in life.
They are.
To your point, it's really important to find a way to, even if you're challenging them, to do it positively and not in a way that harms their self-esteem, because they really are in a very vulnerable place in their lives.
Exactly. And like you said, you know, we have to sort of get ourselves together. Wouldn't it be nice? Get the book on how to be a parent, but get ourselves together before we really start to have kids so we don't project our old junk onto them, too. So.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
For some of us, it's too late. We
well,
just have to do
you.
The repair work we have to do now, right?
Thank you.
Or try to do better
exactly.
with grandkids.
You got that right. So let's get to your book. It's called Lies That Limit, Uncover the Truth of Who You Really Are. I really enjoyed this book because it's a lot of people can really, I think, identify. It gets to the quick and dirty about dealing with a lot of the stuff that we've had to sort of buy into in society and from our parents, as we were just talking about, and how we carry it with us and really how it prevents us from functioning in life. What inspired you to write this book anyway?
You know, it's one of those things. I believe Spirit of Purpose really says that we are spirit, this invisible energy that's animating a body for a time. And while we're in this body, we have a purpose to serve. And I think that writing this book was one of mine. So it's kind of like all of my experience in life prepared me to write the book. And I can tell you honestly that it's not something that I dreamt of doing when I was little.
Yes, interesting. Wow, that's amazing. So you have a lot of cool dreams that, you know, maybe kind of prophetic for you in your life, huh?
Yeah, they really have been, and I talk about those in the book.
Yeah.
So I wrote the book because I learned over the course of my life that there were just so many instances where I was limiting myself.
Right.
And while I felt like it would be so easy and convenient to blame other people, to blame circumstances, situations, what have you, when I looked closely, I would notice that, well, you know, there are people who hear the same message, but they don't listen to it.
Well, right.
So this message can't be truth. It just has to be what I'm accepting.
Right.
And so I would begin to challenge myself about my own limiting beliefs and the ways that I would sabotage myself.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, gosh, if I'm doing this, it certainly looks to me like a lot of other people are, too.
Yep.
So I wrote the book as a way of offering some help.
That's wonderful. And it's a really good self-help book. It's very clear. It's, you know, it's written very well, and I think people can learn a lot from it and from your experiences. Can you share a little bit more about your own personal stories, maybe things that really touched you, that gave you the enlightened, wait a minute, you know, situations that happened to you?
Yeah. Well, actually, one of them is kind of an early story in the book about me. And this is a time when I'm in my mid-20s and I'm new to the corporate world and, you know, like lots of people feeling very ambitious and wanting to climb the ladder and to become a vice president and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Notice I didn't say president, but vice president. So there's a limitation there as well. But nevertheless, having these dreams. And one day, I was preparing for a presentation, but this friend called me, and she invited me out to lunch. It was like one of the first beautiful days of spring in the Philadelphia area. And so, you know, I hemmed and hawed, no, I can't go. She said, yes, let's go. So finally I said yes. And we're sitting out on the Ben Franklin Parkway in this outdoor cafe having lunch.
Right.
And so we are two young black women, two young women of African descent, born and raised in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I mention that because I think that culturally there are differences for people who are of African descent but weren't born and raised in the U.S.
Right, right.
So we're out there enjoying lunch, enjoying the scene, and down the street walks these two young white guys who are kind of our age.
Right.
And these two guys are walking and talking like they own the world.
Right.
And, you know, I said to my friend, look at those two white guys. They look like they own the world. And she laughs and she says, you know, well, someday they probably will. And, you know, yeah. We kind of joke about it. But what I was aware of in myself, and this book, by the way, is not strictly about race. This story just happens to be.
Right.
What I noticed in myself and my reaction was a level of envy.
Uh-huh.
You know, these guys have it made. Mm-hmm. And they think they can do anything. And then I thought to myself, well, why the hell don't I think that way? Why am I thinking in limited terms?
Right.
And it was like those guys gave me a great gift that day, showing up to be a mirror for me.
Right.
Of the kind of confidence and belief in myself that I could walk in the world with.
Yes.
The kind of expectation of good that before that time I danced with, but I didn't own.
Right. And you sort of realized you had a lot of internal belief systems that were not necessarily true.
That's right.
Not necessarily. I mean, sometimes we do experience things in our lives which keep repeating. I mean, we see a lot of prejudice. We see a lot of injustice. We see this. And it is probably very difficult sometimes to break out of that, though, and say, wait a minute, you know, or as I call it, doing an Oprah, you know.
Yes, it's very difficult to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But look at the courage and look at the impact, right?
Yes.
And look at the joy in life when we actually go to be true to our spirit and our sense of purpose.
Yes.
I mean, that's a great way to live life. And that's the way that I'm working on living my life and that I'm creating this movement, Spirit of Purpose, to invite others into that very same journey.
That is wonderful. Let me just let everybody know, if you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here. And my special guest today is author, certified core energetic therapist, CBS. Of course, she's on Fox regularly on television. Teresa Moore Griffin, she's the author of the book Lies That Limit, Uncover the Truth of Who You Really Are. What is the best way for folks to get in touch with you? Let me just kind of put this out there right now, and then we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show as well.
Great. They can visit my website, spiritofpurpose.com.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a website unique to the book, liesthatlimit.com. Mm-hmm. And follow me on Facebook at Lies That Limit and Twitter at Lies That Limit.
Oh, that's great. All right, Teresa, we're ready to go. Now we're all geared to go. We can follow you here. So let's talk about lies in the title of the book. It's in an acronym.
Yeah.
It's in an acronym, but it's cool. I love it.
Yeah.
So what does
the word lies has the traditional meaning, which means something that isn't true, right? That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
And I'm referencing the labels that we believe about ourselves and carry around, sometimes with shame, sometimes with pride, that limit us.
Yeah.
The illusions, the wrong-minded ideas we have about life and what makes for a good life, what makes things work.
Yeah.
And then the excuses we make or the explanations we have for why we can't do this, why we can't do that, why they can but I can't, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
And the stories. So labels, illusions, excuses, and stories is what the lies stands for.
That's great. And you go through in your book and sort of explain exactly what these things do to us and how we can change. Where do these lies come from usually? I mean, where does all this stuff come from?
Well, first of all, in my experience, it's just in the air.
Yeah.
It's in the DNA of every culture around the world.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for the folks who are well-meaning and love us to death, they teach us how to obey these lies and how to play within the rules that are often confining. Now, when I talk about lies, I'm not talking about the kinds of actions and behaviors that really serve us as people to have a good life and to be free and to be clear and strong.
I'm
talking about the ones that hold us back.
Right.
So they come from well-meaning people.
Right, exactly. So when people come in to see you and see me, you know, it's all my parents' fault. They made me feel this way. It's like, well, they didn't know better, honey. You know what?
Exactly.
They're just buying into what they did in their lives, so they feel it's okay to pass it on to us. So
that's right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
Not guilty.
My brother. My brother and I have one brother, and we have this great line about my mother. We used to tease her about it all the time. We would say, "You were so tough," and she really was.
Yeah.
And she would say, "But look at how you turned out. Who could ask for more?"
You know, there you go. That's right.
Yeah, and she said, "I gave you what I got."
There you go.
Best I knew.
Yeah, and it's positive reinforcement, and it's also some punishment. This is what you're going to get if you do this in the world.
That's just right.
Playing it out here in the home. But if you do what you do out there in the world, you're not going to be a very happy person, basically.
Right.
So you talk about the grand design lies. What are those grand design lies you're talking about?
You know, they are the ones that I see them as the lies that sort of construct the social mores and rules that we all follow. And they are designed really to keep groups of people in a certain place.
That's true.
Believing and behaving a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sort of construct the social order on a grand scheme and create distinctions along the lines of class, along the lines of race, of gender, of sexual orientation, of religious and spiritual belief.
Yes.
Political belief, my God, we're seeing that now, aren't we?
We sure are. Oh, my goodness.
That big division.
Oh, my goodness. And you know, quite frankly, you know, they're lies. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself, Teresa.
Well, there's a lot of bullying going on
in
the political arena right now, and I think it's happening in front of our eyes.
Yes.
We can call it any number of things, but they are grown-up people who are speaking in rational terms, and when we hear their words, they sound rational.
Mm-hmm.
But the emotional energy that I think undergirds a lot of what I hear has to do with controlling, maintaining the status quo, which is a part of what grand design lies are designed to do. They maintain the status quo.
Right, exactly. I agree with you. I think, you know, they really do. The isms, racism, sexism, classism, heterosexism, all that stuff, you know, going on.
Physical ability.
Right.
You know, it's all a part of the grand design lies about what people of that group can or cannot do because they're a member of that group.
Right.
And I think for all of us, we have yet more work to do in letting go of that so that we are all free human beings.
Absolutely. Now, you talk about some of the most common lies about reality that we think about every day. Are these the same as the grand design lies that we have to deal with within our isms?
Yeah, you know, some of them are, for sure. One of the ones that I think has always played a role in my life is the illusion that, a couple of them really, one is that a better life means more.
Yes.
More money, more status, more stuff. And what I've learned is that more ends up being a little bit of a burden sometimes,
Right, exactly.
And if you're piling more onto a foundation that is dirty, rocky, not clean and clear, it doesn't serve you.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't serve you.
That's right. And Lies That Limit is really designed to help all of us take that first step on the journey to being a spirit of purpose by helping us to clear away the debris that's collected there over years, decades, what have you, so that our foundation is strong and clear and we can make up our own minds about what's true and what is.
It's our own truth, basically, in a sense. What is our truth? And I always try to stress this to people out. Well, that's your truth, you know, but it's okay. You know, I'm not going to judge, but that's your truth and you have to live with it, you know. And you talk about clearing away a lot of things. And that's really a profound, you know, statement as well. What I like about your book is that you give people exercises, practical exercises to really write down and think about how they think, you know, the lies that they've lived with. And, you know, no judgment. It's just sort of what have you bought into that's limiting you in your life?
Exactly. And, you know, the great thing about the whole, one of the processes that the book strongly recommends and encourages is introspection through the process of journaling. So asking good questions.
Right.
And at the end of each chapter, as you know, I pose questions that the readers can ask themselves. And then journaling down whatever comes for you. Mm-hmm. And it's your private, they're your private notes.
Right.
No one has to see, no one has to know. but at least you can have a look at whatever happens to be kind of hidden beneath the surface for you, what's down in the cellar
and it's
of
difficult.
Your own mind.
Exactly, Teresa. It's very difficult sometimes for people to do that, to go into, because we're so defocused. You know, our days are like, got to do this, got to go to work, got to do the traffic, got to eat, got to take care of the kids, got to. And it's so hard to get into, I need to really tell some truth here within myself and focus on, you know, what's, who I am, what's holding me back. Well, I need to go within and get this stuff out. And you do help them in your book find that and do that, which I like.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's been a great joy for me to have people who talk when I do talks at organizations or groups. People come up and talk about the impact the book has had on them and how valuable it's been for them and how many people they bought it for, and sometimes they're in tears, which pulls the tears out of me
because
it's such a beautiful thing.
I bet.
To experience that with others.
Oh,
so.
That's great. Well, that's your purpose.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
There you go. That's it. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Teresa Moore Griffin. She's the author of the book, It's Terrific. Lies That Limit, Uncover the Truth of Who You Really Are. Or as I call it, keeping it real within yourself.
Yes.
You know, keeping it real. Get within and figure it out for yourself, too. You talk about the border patrol mentality. I loved the way you used that. It was like, wow, the visuals came very clear. Can you share with us a little bit what you describe as that border control mentality?
Yeah, you know, this is an image that was so clear to me some years ago back in the 70s. I was in college back in those years, so that gives everyone a sense of how old I am these days, right?
You're a young woman.
And, well, I feel very young, so that's a good thing. And I remember taking I went to study in Austria, and I took a bus trip with my university class into Czechoslovakia, back when Czechoslovakia was communist. And at the border, there were these very young men. They looked to be babies, like 16, 17, with AK-47.
Oh, my God.
And they boarded the bus. And I cannot tell you, waking up from my sleep, seeing them, how frightened I was.
Yes.
So you can imagine my surprise when, now 25 plus years later,
right,
I have this dream in which there is this image of the Border Patrol once again. And the story about the dream is, what it taught me is that the Border Patrol is not out there in the world. It lives inside of me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In my head.
Right.
In my thought process, guarding me, like keeping me in these artificial boundaries, behind these lines, these walls and fences.
Yes.
And not allowing me to expand my horizons in any sense, you know, but really holding me back, keeping me in place. It's the part of me that speaks up and says, well, I don't know if you want to do that. That's too risky. Wait a second. Not yet. Not now.
Yeah.
Maybe later, but not now.
Yes.
You know, it's the part of us that talks to us, raises the specter of fear, and then that holds us back and keeps us in place, actually stuck in a rut.
Boy, it sure does. It sure does, doesn't it? And just off topic slightly, do you think that more people should pay attention to their dreams?
Oh, my goodness, yes, I do.
Yep.
My dreams have always been a rich source of information, and I literally find that to be true with my clients, too.
Yes.
I don't know about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they are great teachers.
Right. And there's no analysis or this is what this symbolizes. It's flat out, how are you feeling in the dream? Are you feeling like a victim? Are you feeling empowered? Are you breathing underwater? Or are you running and never able to get anywhere? I mean,
that's
it's the what I call the residue, too, after the dream of that icky or really nice.
Yes. Are there monsters chasing you and you're running and can't get away? Do they catch you by your foot and are they dragging you down? Or are you climbing a mountain, you know, out in a meadow somewhere?
Yeah. And who are they? Who are they in your life right now?
Yeah.
You know, that's a biggie, too. And I know you write about that in your book.
I do. In fact, just to mention for your listeners, there's a section in the book where I teach a way of interpreting dreams, and it's the way that I use to interpret the dream that gave me this awareness of that Border Patrol that lived in me. It's a very easy technique, so yeah. I hope people check it out.
Oh, they will. It's a great technique, and I'm not going to reveal it because they need to read it and go, whoa, wait a minute. I know why I've been dreaming that all the time or going back
yeah.
there. So our dreams can reveal a lot about our lives and what we're feeling or fearing or needing. And you suggest possibly that we take the negative parts of those dreams and realize how we've taken in a lot of that negativity and how we need to change it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, the process that I use, and it sounds like you do a similar thing, is all parts of the dream are really parts of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is the Border Patrol part of me? That was the question. It was
yeah.
like, oh, my God, that's right. That's in me.
Right.
Yikes.
Yes, it's all within, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is.
Life is a head job, as they say,
you
right?
You got that right. So too. By the way, if you just tuned in to LA Talk Radio, my special guest today is Teresa Moore Griffin. She's the author of the book Lies That Limit, Uncover the Truth of Who You Really Are. And you also offer lies detector tools. Now, I like some of these. I really enjoyed reading these. Can you give our listeners a little taste of what these tools are?
Absolutely. And by the way, for your listeners, I also have a blog, and they can find my blog on the Spirit of Purpose website or the Lies That Limit website. And very often through the blogs, I'm talking and giving examples of how these lie detector tools happen to apply.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
Nice.
So one of the big ones we've talked about already, I think if you're going to uncover the lies in your life, those labels, illusions, excuses, and stories mm-hmm. that you allow to limit you, a part of what you have to do is to become a keen observer of yourself.
Yes.
To really notice you and how you react. We're very busy noticing other people.
Right. We are. Huh? Yeah. But
we're all in their business.
Right. Right. We really are. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one of the tools is I teach people how to be more self-observant and how to intentionally reflect and make conscious, mindful choices
yes.
versus going with automatic response.
Mm-hmm. It's really true. And so some examples, maybe, some of the tools. So what are some of the examples that you may give?
Yeah, so one of them is that I encourage people to look into the everyday of their lives for examples of the lies that limit them.
Hmm.
And to kind of study, notice what they say and how they say it. So if I'm always saying,
right.
I can't
right.
because,
right.
you know, that's a way that I'm limiting myself.
Right.
And that will show up in my everyday language and interactions.
Right.
If I'm saying, I'm too old to go back to school
yeah.
and get that PhD that I want.
Right.
That's another story I tell myself,
mm-hmm.
and I'm limiting myself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges today, for example, in today's world, a lot of people are talking about their issues with the job market.
Right.
And I hear people saying, I can't find a job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the other breath, I also hear them saying, I really like not working.
Yes. Yes.
So I think if we just start to notice mm-hmm. what we talk about, what we say, pay attention to ourselves, we get a lot of cues about how we're hanging ourselves up
yeah.
and not working in our own best interest.
Yes, I hear you. And it's in your book, you have the examples, you know, those little things, I don't have time to, or everybody feels that way from time to time, or not now, I'll do it later.
That's
and
right.
Then later.
That's right.
Later. And then when this happens, this is one of my favorite ones, when whatever happens, then I'll be able to do this. It's like,
that's right.
no, that's not going to happen.
Not now, later, much
yeah.
later. These things have to all be in position. The stars have to be aligned just right.
There you go.
For me to take that action.
That's exactly right.
That's a big way we limit ourselves.
My horoscope's going to tell me that it's a good day, but it's not yet. Or, you know, I don't have enough money too, or this is blocking me because I've heard that I'm never going to be able to make it because of my age. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they don't let people like us in that company.
There you go.
Or, you know, they're not going to promote someone my age to that kind of position.
Right.
They want young people, or they're not
going
to promote a woman. Or so we have all of these things that we allow to get in our way.
Right.
And often we use them as reasons not to try.
Yes. Yes.
It's
exactly.
like we give up before we even put an effort in.
Right. And what's really tough, and what I have heard a lot from clients is, you know, that old dogma, nobody in my family Nobody in my ethnic group has ever done this. Nobody. Yes. And it's like they're sort of taken. There's a guilt there. Well, you know, I don't want to be called any names. I don't want to be the one that's, you know, well, you don't let things bother you. Or, you know, in your book, you gave the example, you know, of that gentleman saying to you, you know what, Teresa, you're in denial, you know.
Yeah.
And that's tough to fight that, though. That's really tough to try to believe outside of all that stuff that's been put in there, you know, especially by family. Well, no.
But, you know, Michelle, one of the things that comes to me about this, and it's something that I encourage my clients to do, which is to not seek outside validation.
Right, right.
To validate yourself. And I think when we do that, then we are less inclined to limit ourselves based upon, you know, other people's comfort level with us doing certain things or taking certain actions.
Absolutely.
We're freer then.
Right. But, you know, it is a natural inclination to always ask close family members or close friends, you know, opinion, but it's never going to be our truth. You know,
right.
And we're never going to find out really what's right for us. I mean, we all do it naturally, though. We just do.
We do.
It's tough to get out of that.
Yeah. I know some of the hardest decisions that I've made in my life, I've engendered and attracted a lot of criticism for them because people would say, you know, are you crazy?
Right.
So one of them was when I left my corporate job to begin my business in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you have a great job. They love you there. You're doing well. What are you leaving for? I mean, this is what everyone works for. Don't you want it? And the answer was, it's a great thing to work for if that's what you want, but it's not what I want anymore.
Right.
I'm off to something else.
That's right. It's your truth. Exactly. And, you know, it's like interesting. There's a difference, too, with a lot of people, and I see this a lot every day. There's a difference between being defensive and feeling like you have to defend yourself and just being assertive and saying, this is my choice. And it's
That's
no biggie.
Right.
Defensiveness involves anger and fear that, you know, you have to defend your choices. It's like, no, nope. And it's tough getting over that as well.
Exactly. I agree with you on that. And, you know, my sense is that when I share with people what I'm doing, most often I'm giving them information because I care about them. I'm not asking their permission.
Right. It's part of your purpose is to help others, you know, sort of realize the wonderful things that you have realized and taken in.
And I just want to be clear about this too.
Yeah.
I'm on this journey. It's forever.
Right. Right.
It's never over. It doesn't end. They're just levels of it. So my basement floor is a little less cluttered than it used to be, but there's still stuff on it. And I expect that until the day I die and leave this body, there'll be stuff that I'm cleaning up.
We never get anything done. And you know, once we sort of know that, it's sort of refreshing that it's a daily journey, and it's discovery is really cool.
Well, I like that word, discovery, mm-hmm. because that to me, that excites me mm-hmm. to think that I'm in this eternal process of discovery.
Yeah.
And mostly what I'm discovering is myself.
Right. Right.
I'm getting closer to knowing myself in deeper and deeper ways.
Right. It, you know, it is, and again, I said this before, but and I've said this in just numerous interviews and in my own teachings, is, you know, it is all within. It all starts within, and finding that higher self within us and connecting with that.
Yes.
And we all do have a purpose. I agree with you so much. So you do encourage readers to talk with themselves, you know, and their spirit as the best way to strengthen, you know, what's within them and kind of reset those negative pivot points.
Yes.
To ones that enable them to banish. So how can they do that?
How can they talk with themselves and reset the pivot point?
Yeah.
One is we have to be willing to look at our negativity as well as the stuff that we call positive and the things that we like and admire about ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I find for me and for a lot of my clients, having regular conversation with me in a coaching context or a therapeutic context, whatever their choice is helpful.
Right.
Journaling. People at first will kind of look askance when I recommend that. Mostly men will, women not so much.
Right.
But when they get into it and they just allow themselves to write freely without censoring, they access new information about who they are. And I had one executive, and this man is the CEO of a company, who said to me, I didn't know that I sounded so negative.
Right. Interesting.
But when he wrote freely, uncensored, that's what came out. So he learned something valuable about himself, you know, that really was a quality of energy that was getting in the way of him being an effective leader.
Yes. And you know, I would assume that you are hired for these major corporations, you know, as a core energetics coach. American Express, AT&T, Merrill Lynch, my gosh, you know. You're hired because they are willing to listen and they are willing to be open to your, you know, process of getting them through some of these blocks that they have.
Yes, and often I'm hired to do work at a group level.
Yes.
And so I'd work at the group level trying to make cultural change very often and cultural change in the organization, and then end up working with individual executives to help them sort of learn about how to support and nurture the change,
right,
which means that they have to begin behaving differently in order to make that work.
Yes.
So someone hires me. It's not always the group that hires me, you know, and so that means that I get the pleasure of working with people's resistance. Which is something we all have some part of or some bit of in us.
We sure do. But, of course, you've been there and done that, so you know how to do it. And I'm sure, you know, you've helped so many people out. If there's one really important point, we are coming on a little break here. And we got the news coming in, Teresa. But if there's one really important point to your book that you'd like to stress before people pick it up to go buy it and read it and help themselves, what would that be?
It's that whatever genius existed in you when you were first born is still there waiting for you to access it.
That's really a biggie. We're little children, and we have all these wonderful fantasies and beliefs. And then the more into society and identity that we try to get within ourselves, all of these beliefs and wonderful, you know, fantasies, as they call them, are dashed.
Yes.
You know, we learn to kind of shove things down. And the negativities, again, from possible mom or dad or both or grandma, grandpa, and they're all fearful because that's how they've been raised.
That's right. They're just trying to help you survive.
Yep.
And our goal is to help you live better now so you thrive.
Right.
That's the work of Spirit of Purpose and Lives That Limit.
That's beautiful. Well, that's a lovely way to end our interview. And by the way, folks, if you would like to check out Teresa Moore Griffin's website, it's, of course, www.liesthatlimit.com. Her blog, liesthatlimit.com/blog. You can Twitter her as well at liesthatlimit. It's all about getting rid of those lies that we've bought into and changing your life and being a happier person and discovering our true spirit within, right?
Absolutely, becoming that spirit of purpose. So spiritofpurpose.com is a great way to find it.
That's a great way, too. I checked that one out. Nice stuff. Thank you so much, Teresa, for being a great guest. Folks, do pick up her book, Teresa Moore Griffin, author of Lies That Limit, Uncover the Truth of Who You Really Are. From this moment on, everyone, you have been warned.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thanks for being such a great guest, Teresa.
My pleasure.
All right. Take good care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's how you can help yourself, folks. Don't have any more lies that limit your life. Not working anymore. All right? Speaking about working, CBS News is coming up for you. Let you know what's going on. And I got to get out of here. This is Dr. Michelle. As always, have enjoyed being on the couch with you. You can stay on if you like. More wonderful programming coming up here on LA Talk Radio, the country's number one listened to internet station. And as I always do say to you when I leave, is take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works. God bless. Talk to you next Friday.